Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we're here for our office hours call. And we have, this is open to all members of INE who are in self-study programs and also who are in live active programs. So NEPT and IRSPT members are joining us today for this. Generally, these calls are open for whatever we want to discuss. And so that's true of this particular one. We can focus on the insulin resistance stuff, and we can also look at other things that are going on related to whatever program it is that you're doing. So I think that's all I wanted to say at the beginning. Next week, we will have our final call for IRSPT, and we're going to focus on the business piece of it, like creating a presentation that you can use in your community, and how do you market yourself, and how do you use it, and then we'll give you the formal certification requirements that you could get going. We did an informal presentation of that a while back, and it just slipped my mind that we hadn't gotten the formal one out to you, so we will work on that coming up soon. We would have had the module open. I finished working on that module several weeks ago, and then there was some errors or some problems with the video. So I have to re-record several sections of the video before we put it up there. But there's a lot of good stuff on this site as well already. It's module 9, and it's related to, let's see if I can pull up that screen. It's related to getting out in your community. One of the biggest things that you've got in Module 9 is you've got a done-for-you presentation that I'm giving you my permission to just take and use however you want to use it, to just take it and alter it and use it to in your community. So I'm giving you the slides. I've given you a transcript. I've given you an audio and a video. So you really have everything you need to create a little presentation, and then when the rest of the module gets loaded up, I'll be talking about how do you get out there, what kind of groups do you approach, how do you put together a program to help people with this so that you have your own built-in little business in a box type of thing. So that's important to me. So let me go through, and we have someone who's working on getting all the test questions finished, and I have to check in. I was away all last week, as most of you know, with the NEPT retreat, so this week has been a blur just of appointment after appointment after appointment, and haven't had time to even, you know, come up above water to see what's needed. So we'll make sure all that stuff gets ready and gets sent out to you as soon as it's open. So what else? Yeah, so in that module so far, there is a progress checklist and learning objectives, so you know what to work on. And the progress checklist has a list of all the resources. The thing that's missing is the core content video. I believe there might be slides up for it, but not the core content video itself. Let me just see if the slides are there. I think the slides are there. It's just that the video had an error in it. Nope, it's not. The slides are something old. So, yeah, so none of that is there. The whole downloads area is yet to come. But we've also got up for you another video that I would highly recommend you take a look at. And it's under Advanced Topics and References. There's a bonus Design Your Own Health Coaching Program. That's something that I put together a couple of years ago. So it's not as up-to-date as the one you're going to get, but it's definitely going to get you going on the components of a good program and how to use what you've learned in the insulin resistance program to teach others and to lay it out in a logical fashion. You know, a lot of times when we're coaching with people, we may, you know, do an initial consultation with them, figure out what's wrong, and then just go from week to week. But it really helps to have a program in mind, like a transformation that you're going to take them through, and I talk about that in there. There's also one that I did as a bonus for our client assessment tools program, so it's not quite geared towards insulin resistance, but it's certainly something that is there as a bonus for you to take a look at. And the more you look at how to put together coaching programs and packages, the more you're going to understand how you can best take your services, package it up, and then take the show on the road, so to speak. Find places in your community to do a presentation, and then key is making an offer at the end of the presentation for people to follow up with you. You can either offer a program at the end, which might be a little bit of a hard sell because you've only been with these people an hour or two, but instead what you can do is offer a consultation with you, a free consultation, to just chat with them about what's going on. Usually I call those strategy sessions. So you'd offer them a strategy session at the end of your talk to say, hey, and I've got openings. I can take, like, you know, 5 people a month, and if you're interested, fill out this little application where you ask them 1 or 2 key questions, and then you set up a time to talk with them, find out what their needs are, and you can even do some of your little assessments, like maybe have them do the insulin resistance assessment to see if they need your services in the realm of insulin resistance. Most people do, by the way. And then you can make them an offer then to do a 3-month coaching program. And I wanted to congratulate Maria, who posted in the Facebook group that's what she did. She indeed signed up somebody for a 3-month package. So congratulations, Maria. I think that's awesome. Yay. Way to go. And then there's another thing that I've given you as some bonuses, is something I put together for our energy recharge coaching program a couple of years ago. It's translating what you do with people into a system you can deliver as a program. So there's a lot of similarities between these different programs, but every time I speak something, you know, some other insights come, other questions come up. So they're definitely worth looking at and exploring. And then there's something called Business Success Packaging Your Genius as teleseminars. So there's a whole bunch of things that will help you to put things together, whether you want to do a local program, a small group program, a one-on-one program, or do it as teleseminars. So I've given you all those resources. So even though the core video is not there, you've got plenty of resources to keep you busy. And then next week on, I think it's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, let's see. You know, next week Wednesday at 3:30 p.m., we're going to do a coaching call on creating community education and marketing. So I'm going to, you know, present some of the stuff that maybe isn't included in some of those, maybe some new insights I've gained recently, but then I really want to open it up for questions from you about how to put this together for yourself. So I'd really encourage you to study the materials I've given you so far. And hopefully by Monday we'll have the new video up too. But even if without that, you'll have plenty of information to go on, and it'll spark some ideas and some strategies. And you can run those ideas by me and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? How can I do it? What's the best way? And I'm happy to answer those questions. I'm pretty good at digging in on the fly and coming up with ideas that maybe you hadn't thought of before. So I highly encourage you to be on that call. Put it on your calendar. It's on March the 18th at 3:30 p.m. Okay? So that said, I think I'd like to check in with you guys and see where you're at, see what kinds of successes you've had, if you've been dealing with clients, see what kind of challenges you've had, whether it's with clients or yourself. And we'll open it up. So star 2 will open it up with questions. And then I'm going to check 2 different places. One is back on the web on the support area, ISPT, Ask the Doctor. And we'll also look at the INE one too. All right. There's no new questions on there. I'm going to look on the INE office hours list. I wish there was a way we could put all these together, but apparently it's too hard to do. All right, no, nothing there. So, great. We're going to stick to the new questions that are happening in real time, and we've got 3 hands up. Yay! So, let's go with Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm recovering from a little cold. I never get sick, but I guess, you know, something got to me.
Aw, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Because
so
my
voice is not the 100%, but hopefully you can hear me okay.
I can hear you fine. And I just wanted to congratulate you in person on signing somebody up for that 3-month program. That's
yeah,
awesome.
I know. I mean, I'm excited, and I want to talk to you about it, unless you can definitely, you know, tell me to wait until next week because I have time with this person. But,
okay. If you want to ask me a few quick questions now, I mean, I'm happy to do it. We have 3 people, so let's just take a little bit of time,
yeah.
And then we
yeah.
can come back to it, and then we can come back to it next week. I'll probably give you a few ideas to think about and
right.
to explore and expand on, and then we can talk more about it next week.
Perfect. So I'm going to give you high level, and then you answer what you find appropriate, okay?
Yep.
So, you know, going through the program with you and walking the Before Be Gone with clients where, you know, I have somebody that I'm walking with, you
yep.
have all these resources, and I know you give us some, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm in a point that, okay, I don't have, you know, all, obviously, what you can offer. And there are some things that I think would be fantastic that I, you know, I should be sharing even in writing with my clients that are not done for me in the material. So I would love your kind of guideline, you know, at some point is, you know, how to handle that because, you know, it might be, you know, you've been doing this for decades, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'm for a person like starting with me, you know, it's like, okay, put it all from scratch. I don't have the time, you know,
exactly.
the bandwidth to do it. So I need your guidance. I don't want to know, I don't want to do anything that is not appropriate, you know,
right.
because
right.
on the documents, you know,
yes.
I can say that is, you know, I can put this stuff on the bottom and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, but only the stuff that I've said to you is done for you because a lot of it is my proprietary stuff and bread and butter. But
right.
there are ways that we can allow you to do that. We're working on a system of being able to license materials to you, like where you would either pay an annual fee or you'd pay a per-person fee to use the materials in the site. So whenever you sell a program, that part of that would be included, would be the resources. That's one way to do it. Another way to
okay.
do it is for you to bundle the access for your client into the Before Be Gone site, and you just guide them through it. So in between the live version of it, we do it. We just have it open for self-study, so we don't have the live calls, but we could set it up where we could have a specific fee that you would probably pay for your client because that way they're just paying you. They're not getting involved with me, that you would pay they would pay you, and then that would give, we would open up access for them to the site.
Uh-huh.
And then you could guide them through whatever order you want it to be.
Right. Okay, so is that something that you're working to do in the future, I guess?
Well, yeah, that's an easy one. Well, there's a couple of ways it's easy. One is you could purchase the program for your client right now
right.
as an affiliate and pay
right.
less because of an affiliate thing. But
right.
because they're just going, I think because they're going through it with you and not me, and they're not coming to my live
uh-huh.
calls, we
uh-huh.
should probably set up a different fee structure for that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Whereas
uh-huh.
you would sign your client up. So I think it'll take a little bit of behind the scenes for us to figure out how, but it shouldn't be that hard. I can just ask one of my tech people, you know, how would we do
right.
this? Right? We want to mm-hmm. charge you, instead of it being $500 for the thing, maybe it's $250 or something, and your client would
right.
get access to it. You'd bundle
right.
that into the fee you're charging them, and then you'd have access to everything in there, but they're getting access to my site, so you're not giving it to them as if, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I
yeah.
have this great resource. This is a program that I've been trained in doing, and here's how I want you to go through it. That makes sense. And then
uh-huh.
you'd have access to, they'd have access to the recipe guide, the menu plans, the fitness videos. They'd have access
right.
to everything.
Yeah, yeah. Because in a way, you know, that, you know, the price that, you know, I decided to charge obviously does not include that. It's just me
uh-huh.
doing a lot of work. But in the future, I think that could be helpful because, you know, in a certain way, by having them go to your site, it cuts my time, you know, and work that I have to do with them, so it should kind of pay, you know, it should be kind of maybe not a one-to-one, but definitely,
yeah,
you know,
definitely
help.
Cut your time. But it also increases your credibility, too. When you're doing
right.
something that, you know, you're delivering them a program, you're guiding them through a program that has been tried and true, and, you know, thousands of people have gone through it. It's been created from a health professional. It kind of lends itself to credibility. And I know a lot of people do that. They just will, you know, instead of creating their own stuff, they'll buy it. Like, there's a lot of that in the self-help arena. You know, somebody will buy
mm-hmm.
into a law of attraction course, and then they teach it to their clients, and it's all the it's obvious that it's not developed by them, but it's like, I've been trained, I'm licensed to do this, I'm certified to teach this.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds good. I'll keep an eye for that. But I just, for the others on the line, you know, the way I got this client actually is attributed to my own experience, you know, more than anything else. This was a networking event and, you know, all women kind of stuff that I decided to sign up and get myself out there. But, you know, it was an introduction of what I do and my experiences that where people can relate. And I think that's where most, you know, of the, you know, the interest that I get from people, you know, and other things that I do in nutrition and health and fitness is about, you know, my experience. So if they can relate to what we've gone through and how we have worked, you know, on ourselves and how have we accomplished. And I did all alone without, you know, I always say to them, if I had the education that I had today or knew somebody who's doing what I'm doing, I would have done so much easier.
Exactly. Now,
exactly. And I didn't. It took me years and very painful process, you know, for me to get where I'm at. And now I'm kind of adding this education through your program, which makes total sense. And I think it's really four good steps. But I think when we have the experience and if we can elaborate on that, people can relate and that they will build kind of immediate the trust and credibility, of, you know, to go forward. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to share that with
you. I appreciate you sharing that because it's your story is so important. Whatever your story is, when you can tell
right.
that story, like if you're, whether it's at a networking event and you're just doing it briefly, or when you're putting together your community education
right.
and your programs, you
right.
tell that story from the, here I am now, but this is where I came from and this is how I got here. And this
yeah.
is all the time and money and expense and lost opportunity and relationships that it cost me. And I'm here to put it together for you so that you don't have to go through that like I did. And that's a
right,
really
yeah.
powerful approach. And how, you know, yeah, it cost me this much money in these many years. And you don't have to do that. You just have to pay me this fee to take you through it. And I wish I would have had somebody doing it. Back then, I've
exactly.
said that so
and
many times. I wish there was somebody like me out there doing stuff when I was going through what I was going through.
Right, right. Yeah, starting with that, you know, I've done a few talks, you know, and you know, to multiple people, and it seems like if you can get their attention with your story first, you know, you set the boundaries and then
yep.
you go on. I think that's a good way
very good.
Seems to work. Okay.
Yep.
But
yep.
thank you very much. So we'll stay in touch.
Okay. Yeah, great. So yeah, well, next week, what I'd love you to do is I would love to see what your plan is for taking this, but you said 3 months, right? You signed her up for a 3-month
yes.
program to just
yes.
kind of lay it out. Go through the module 9 in the advanced stuff and just kind of look at some of those things and get some ideas for how you can lay it out so that she knows what to expect. Of course, it's custom and you're going to tailor it
yeah.
and you may take longer on one part than another, but if she kind of knows the transitions that you're going to take her through, and then you
yeah.
can run that by us next week and we can give you some feedback.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, so that was Maria. Let's go to Eleanor. Hi, Eleanor.
Hello. Hi. I had two people that went through the Before Be Gone protocol. One of them was, you know, in your program, and they both did really well. They both looked fantastic at the end. One of them actually, yeah, they both did good. One of them actually lost 20 pounds, which I was very happy for her. And the only thing is that afterwards, she ended up going to a party after she was through the program and starting to, you know, wean herself a little bit. And she went to a birthday party, a really big birthday party, and she developed a pain. First of all, that night she was throwing up, and the throwing up started. But
so yeah, apparently she didn't stick with her protocol and her slow introduction at that point.
No.
She
enjoyed the party, yes, and she was left after she finished throwing up with a pain in the right side, about midway between the end of the ribs and the hips, and you know it was on the right side, but height wise a little above the belly button, and the pain radiated from the front to the same spot in the back. It was kind of a dull pain with occasional zings.
Yeah.
So what organ is right there? Is that?
Well, that would be like the ascending colon.
Oh,
it could be. It depends on how far close to the midline. If it's out towards the edge of the body, it would be ascending colon. If it's inside, then it would be more in the small intestine, you know, as it's winding around itself.
Yeah, so she was thinking it was just maybe she got to, you know, went back to regular stuff too quickly. But
absolutely.
It persisted, so I told her to go to the doctors, and he did a sonogram. And the only thing in the sonogram was that the liver, it said, slightly increased in echogenicity.
Yeah.
And he said to her that she might have a fatty liver.
Mm. Yeah, but the liver wouldn't come down that far. I mean, it could be referred pain from the liver, but if her liver pain came that much below her rib cage, she would have a very enlarged liver.
So the liver is above the rib cage.
Then. Yeah, the liver is protected. It's underneath the rib cage.
Okay. And I know fatty liver disease is really, I know about trans fats. Definitely, and high fructose corn syrup is definitely, you know, all those things irritated. But how would you, is there a protocol to clear the liver if you have fatty liver disease? Is that something that you can do with the protocol?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of liver stuff. There's a lot of really good liver herbs that can be helpful. Fasting is one of the things that's very helpful, or like intermittent fasting. There's a number of things, milk thistle and hawthorn berry, and there's a number of different herbs, dandelion and burdock and those sorts of things can help with it. And it diet-wise, it's really watching. Like, for example, she did exactly what I was warning people on the call earlier today not to do, right? It's not like it's 30 days and now you go back to your life.
Yeah.
It's, 30 days and now let's see which foods and introduce them. And that's the problem most people have, which is why a lot of people come back and do it again and again, is because they think of it as – they're still thinking of it as a diet. They're still thinking of as a, you know, temporary thing that they do, as opposed to having most of the changes be permanent. And that's why I spent a lot of time today. I don't know if she made it to that call, but I would highly recommend you tell her to listen to the replay of today's call, the wrap-up call.
Okay. Yeah, no, because originally that was the first thing we both thought of. She just went back to, but the fact that the pain is persisting is why I told her.
Oh, it's persisting.
Yeah, it's been over a week now, and I'm just a little nervous about that because that's why I told her to go to the doctor, and he obviously checked it out with the sonogram. So, I could see her getting sick a day or two, but for her to persist over a week is.
Yeah, it wouldn't be necessarily an intestinal thing if it's persisting. So it could be referred, although it's not really a common area for it to be referred. And you said it goes around the back as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'd be suspicious of kidney at that point.
Okay. Yeah, you don't really see the liver giving you that kind of a pain through the back.
Not through the back, like that. Usually more up into the right shoulder.
Okay.
And up into the chest, even on the right-hand side, almost like the heart will give referred pain into the arm. On the left side. Ileocecal valve issues sometimes will refer up more up into the diaphragm, though. And so it's an unusual pain referral pattern. Although from an acupuncture, she may recommend that she get evaluated by a Chinese medicine doctor because from an acupuncture perspective, it's right on the meridians.
Which means it can go anywhere? Is that what that means?
Well, the liver gallbladder come from, they're down in the lower extremity and they come up and the meridians run through exactly that area. So it could be that it's some sort of energetic block.
Okay.
Yeah, you think she'd be open to doing that?
She did try that once. The person wasn't any good, so she didn't go back, but yeah. I could suggest that to see.
Yeah, and I would have her mark out where the pain is and look on an acupuncture meridian chart.
Okay.
Yeah. because it could very well be, because it sounds like what she did would typically, that kind of thing would typically provoke a gallbladder attack, right? Somebody's been on a fast or a cleanse or something, and then they just blow it out.
Yeah.
And usually then the gallbladder says, this isn't good. But that pain is usually more towards the midline, you know, to the right of the midline, right below or right at the margin of the ribs.
Right at the ribs, yeah.
Right at the ribs, or in the middle, because it, you know, the, it could be a stone that gets lodged in the common bile duct. Now, I wonder if there would be a referral pattern. Let me just look if there's a gall. But they would have seen a gallstone if it was blocked.
You know, the gallstone, they said that they, because they did the sonogram of the whole area, the gallstone demonstrates no calculi. I don't know if that's
So she did see a, so it's not calcified, but they did see a gallstone.
Well, they say the gallbladder, the gallbladder demonstrates no, I read the wrong thing, sorry, no calculi, wall thickening, or, I'll never be able to pronounce this, P-E-R-I-C-H-O-L-E-C, cystis.
Okay.
So the gallbladder, I guess, looks good.
Gallbladder looked fine.
Was the liver was, they had that one thing which he said was fatty liver disease. So that was the only thing.
Hmm.
It's funny that they don't really look at the intestines in this because they're really only, they're looking at the pancreas, the right kidney, left kidney, the bile ducts, gallbladder, spleen, liver. They didn't look at the intestines at all.
Has she had bowel movements since this thing came on?
I think so, yeah, I think so.
Okay, because sometimes, you know, they get constipated. They fail to tell you that they're constipated, and that's why the pain is persisting.
Yeah, the only thing that this thing shows is that she did have some gas which blocked them being able to see things. I think it was the pancreas was obscured by overlying bowel gas.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
I know. That I could talk to her about, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if, because there's no organs for the gas to obscure, did they say anything about gas on the right-hand side as well?
See, right kidney looks okay. Where else was there gas? I thought there was gas in two places. It says the examination was limited to a combination of overlying bowel gas and body hibiscus.
How do you spell that?
H-A-B-I-T-U-S.
Habitus.
Habitus.
Is she overweight?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so rolls of fat, basically.
Okay. Okay.
The rolls of fat in the gas.
Okay.
We're blocking the ability to see. The gas would say, you know, maybe she does, and maybe she does have a little bit of, you know, a diverticulitis, and, you know, when she went over and it aggravated and there's some irritation in one of those.
Okay, but I should look at the Chinese medicine charts, you think, to see?
I would.
Yeah, okay.
I would definitely look there. You know, it's good that there's no stone. They didn't say that. Did they say that if the pancreas was blocked by the gas, I wonder about the common bile duct being blocked, so they wouldn't be able to see that.
The bile ducts, it says there's no, it looks okay.
Okay, good.
But they're going to do a CAT scan because they said sometimes the CAT scans will show much more than these
programs.
So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Going through that process.
Yeah, they should, because if it's showing, you know, and it, if it's a stone, then certainly, you know, I would certainly give this person, if it were me and I started having a pain like that, I would just stop eating. I would just do some juicing and, you know, do some things that would just be soothing to the gut and allow things to heal and pass through. Because it obviously was triggered by the food she ate. It was probably, you know, major overindulgence compared to what she had been on for the month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my suspicion would be liver, gallbladder, or some kind of intestinal blockage.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, no problem. Okay, so that was Eleanor. Let's see who we have next. Jean. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm very pleased with both programs. I have been following the insulin resistant program plus the Before Be Gone. And I'm very pleased because at the very beginning, what really motivated me to take this course was the fasting glucose, that it was kind of high for me in the 130s, 140s.
Ouch, yeah.
And the, yeah, that was, and I was always, this is wrong, but nobody was able to really get into the point that, like you have described in both courses. So I'm now like
89,
94. Oh, dancing in the tiptoes. The only thing is that I drop a lot of weight, and I'm still kind of evaluating how I eat, because at the end, like with the dinner sometimes, when I take my blood glucose to see my readings, they go a little bit high, like 118 or 122, and I'm still, okay, so what I need to do this, like, kind of cutting in amount of food or see what is causing that. So I'm still in that process of evaluating and looking what is causing that. The only thing that I have noticed is that if it goes a little bit above before I go to bed, I take like the chromium and the biotin and the milk crystal, vitamin C sometimes, alpha lipoic acid. And then in the morning, it goes really, it goes low, normal.
Nice.
So nice. I don't know.
No, that's good. Now, the thing I would do with those meals is to look at the meals, right? And first of all, make a list of the foods in the meals and see what's most likely. So tell me a little bit about what's in those meals.
Well, for example, in the afternoon, I can eat like a little bit of, like a fish fillet.
Yeah.
And that one, I put garlic, onion, parsley, cilantro, maybe a little bit of red bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cook like steamed broccoli and some kale, maybe, or green beans.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit of lemon juice and apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's rosemary and oregano and thyme. And that may be my meal.
Wow. So that we wouldn't suspect that would raise your sugar at all.
But it does.
But it does. So sometimes when you're sensitive, the cooked vegetables are going to be more readily available and raise the sugar. I wouldn't expect it most so much with broccoli, but sometimes with cauliflower I've seen it, and red bell pepper I've seen it. So what I would do is I would do a simple meal of, like, do it almost like a sequential meal so that you can see. Is it raising up within 45 minutes? Is that how quickly it does it?
No. Maybe
longer.
Takes a little bit longer.
Okay, so figure out how long it usually takes, and then just sit down and have a big plate of broccoli, and then test it and see if that does it. And have a plate of, you know, some of the other individual components, like the fish, and that, see if that does it. So it may cause you to break some of the rules of meal timing, because you're going to eat, you know, and an hour later, once it starts to come down again, you'll do it again.
Uh-huh.
But I think that individually testing the foods might make a big difference, to just see if it's one of the foods.
Okay.
Does it happen with lunch?
With lunch, normally no. And neither with the breakfast. Breakfast,
okay.
I normally do a really, really good breakfast, and it doesn't. It does really good. And then the lunch, it keeps and maintain the numbers, but then the afternoon is when I'm having a little bit of problems trying to adjust with that last number. And sometimes I wait, and before I go to bed, I do the poking again, and it drops, but it doesn't drop a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it was like 127. It may be like 124 or something. So it doesn't drop a lot. And the difference in eating and go to bed is like 3 hours, 3 hours and a half. I would expect it. Well, it should be all gone, and it should
right.
be no numbers. And, well, no. So there may be something else.
What's the difference between your lunch and your dinner, food-wise?
Lunch usually like a salad or maybe soup. Or
a cooked soup or a raw soup?
A cooked soup.
Cooked soup, okay.
Yeah.
And do you have any fish or meat with the lunch?
Pardon me?
Do you eat any fish or meat with the lunch?
With the lunch, yes. If it is a soup, probably I will do like a piece of chicken breast and shred it, like kind of steam or boiled, and then or cook it with the soup.
Mm.
But it's all veggies.
So here's another thing you can try, is you just can try swapping to find out if it's a time of day thing, which would have to do with cortisol levels and stress levels. What I would do is with your lunch, do something like just a salad and have a piece of fish with it, that same kind of same size that you would have for dinner. Just do one of the lunches, do a salad with the fish. And then if the blood sugar does not go up, then we know it's probably not the fish that's doing it. But if it does, then we've got our culprit.
Exactly.
Okay? And then the other ways I would do it is, since lunch doesn't cause it to go up, I would just take the individual components from the dinner and do it that way. So one day try it with the fish. If it doesn't cause it to go up, then you're looking for something else. Try the salad with the broccoli. Try the salad with whatever else, other kinds of things you might do for dinner.
Okay.
But do it with the salad. And maybe the salad is what's slowing it down, right? Because it's raw and there's a lot of fiber and cellulose in there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a really, really good point, yes. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited about these courses, and I really appreciate all the amount of information that you provide to us. It has been a great helping tool for me and some of my friends, too.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad to hear it. And all of you, if you would be so inclined, we'll send out a request and just write a little testimonial for us, a little story, just like, this is why, you know, I found it valuable, because that helps other people when they're evaluating to see if it's a good thing to do, you know, to read about other people's experience. Like Maria said at the beginning, you know, hearing some other people's stories is what's very convincing to people to say, oh, well, if it worked for her, it should work for me.
Yeah. And the promotional or the introductory class that you give, it's really, really, really motivating. For me, it was one of the things that I have been looking for something like this for such a long time, and nobody. So it was like something that deep inside me, it was like, yes, you should take this.
Nice.
Because it was for you and for the benefit of others that probably may need it a lot.
Right. Right.
That's what I so inspired. Say, oh, I need. I mean, I have tried so many things. What can be heard from trying one other thing that probably it will be the solution or the piece of my puzzle to get this thing fixed, or at least have some results that I can feel comfortable with them.
Yes.
So. Yes, definitely. But yes, I will do the testimonial, because definitely it's a great program.
Thank you so much. It's so great to hear it. I love to hear the feedback, and all the work is worth it to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. It's a lot of work and a lot of hours, but it's worth it every single minute that you... I don't say spend. I invest.
Because
it's for
good,
me,
good.
Invest for others.
Yes.
So it's investing. Yes.
Ideal. Perfect. Great way to look at it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else that wants to ask a question, go ahead and raise your hand, *2, and then I'm going to go and check the web for see if there's anybody that's written in there, and I'll check the chat as well. Okay, so let me look at the questions that have been typed in, and then I'll go. Bayari says she's here, but working, so may have to disappear, can't call because of work. Yeah, I totally get it. Okay, cool. I mean, you did get the reminders. Good. It just with people, we're running. I was just figuring, I didn't see it in my inbox, and I thought maybe you guys didn't get reminders. So there we go. All right, so let me go to chat. I saw Lynn was commenting something and wanted to know what I had to say. Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning. Sequoia, would somebody get excitatory response, i.e. jitters, to xylitol? Erythritol made from corn, is this okay? Yeah, so as far as the xylitol is often made from birch, but it's often made from corn as well. So it could be that the person is reacting to the corn. It's a sugar alcohol. I mean, usually the kinds of side effects I would see with something like xylitol would be diarrhea or bloating in the gut. So I don't know. I'd have to research that and see what the research has to say about that. Okay, let me see. Let's see. And the other question from Sequoia is, has I much experience with autoimmune disorder of lichen planus, and have you noticed a relationship to blood glucose? I haven't had any experience with that particular autoimmune disease. I've had a lot of experience with autoimmune disease. And, yes, indeed, a lot of times autoimmunity has a relationship with glucose control. The inflammation from the autoimmunity can damage the insulin receptors. So that's a really good thing to keep in mind when you're working with that. And when you're working with somebody with an autoimmune disease, I kind of like to think of them as the same disease, they just have a different target. So a lot of the same things you're going to have to do when you're working with somebody with autoimmune disease, doesn't matter whether it's lichen planus or rheumatoid arthritis or Sjogren's or thyroiditis, Hashimoto's. The damage control for the organ is what you would do differently. So the basics of cleaning up the leaky gut and building up the glutathione levels and the antioxidants and avoiding gluten and other allergens and heavy metals, there's a whole process you would go through to clean somebody up for an autoimmune. And then depending on where the particular one is, there may be some additional herbs and nutrients and even sometimes pharmaceuticals that would be required to help with the particular manifestations. So I don't have experience with that one, but I have a lot of other experience. Okay, so Lynn is saying about the liver. We were talking about with Eleanor before, that flax oil is good for liver clearing along with GLA like borage. Leafy greens and seaweeds, lavender essential oil, good to add to the water. Sequoia, then you make sure that the corn in the erythritol is made from non-GMO corn. And there's organic erythritol. You can get Zero, the brand name called Zero is organic erythritol, and then there's another one called Sweet something. I have it down in my kitchen. That's a non-GMO. Let's see. What else do we have here? Eleanor says recommending Liver Rescue from Health Course is a good, that's a good idea. So Lynn is saying that hasn't seen as much with the blood glucose as with leaky gut. And leaky gut is always going to be an issue, almost always, with somebody with an autoimmune disease. But I think that blood glucose is a big, you know, whenever you've got fluctuating blood glucose, you're going to create havoc in the system. So you always got to make sure that the blood glucose is working properly or nothing is really going to get better. Let's see. This is a good question from Sequoia. Even though if it's non-GMO, will it become, will, is it a problem? It's enzymatically derived from corn, and there's generally not a problem with corn allergy because it has, it's been enzymatically derived and it doesn't really have the protein left. But of course, you have to proceed with caution. I know that with xylitol, you can get birch. You can get it from birch. I'm not sure about the erythritol. It was from the birch, and they got an excitatory response. I'd have to look that up and see why. And it was alone. You're sure that it was just that was different? Xylitol can contribute to acid reflux. Chronic acid reflux. Okay, so here's something that Lynn found, that xylitol can contribute to the frequency of epileptic seizures. So that's a piece that it's definitely can be excitatory. Erythritol. The question is, if they have a reaction to xylitol, will they also have a reaction to erythritol? Not necessarily, because they're very different. Xylitol is much more similar to sorbitol and mannitol, and erythritol is a little bit different in that it's, first of all, it has a much lower GI, meaning glycemic index, lower calories. And it also is processed differently. It's actually broken down further up in the intestine and absorbed before it gets down to feed the colonic bacteria that actually creates some of the problems. But from this excited story standpoint, like I said, that's all new to me, and I'd have to look that up. And I'm not in a position to be able to do that right now. Okay. XyloSuite. That's a different one than I have. The non, I don't remember what the brand is, but I thought it was Sweet something or other. So I'm going to look back to see if there's any other questions or hands. Oh, no questions. All right, so we have a hands up from Beverly. Hello, Beverly. Hello? Check your mute button, Beverly. Because I've got you open. This is the same problem you were having the other day. No. Okay, I'll leave you open. I'm not hearing anything from your line, so it says to me you're probably muted. All right, anybody else? Questions, comments, success stories? Challenges? Okay. All right. Looks like she might have put her own hand down. All right. So I guess that's it. I don't see anything else. So Lynn, let me look in the chat to see if there's anything else. They also reacted to mannitol. Yeah, mannitol, xylitol, and sorbitol. If you go into the NEPT module on carbohydrates, I go into some details about those three and the differences between them, or the four, and the differences between them. So if nobody else has any questions, we're going to call it early. I've got a lot on my plate to get ready for our Adrenal Recharge Blueprint webinar tonight. So if anybody's interested in joining us for that, it's going to be a really good one. I've got a lot of really great slides I've put together, and I still have to finish those slides putting it together. So Adrenal Recharge Blueprint webinar tonight. If you haven't seen my emails about it, I can't remember the exact opt-in for that, but if you just go to the Adrenal Burnout Quiz, it's a really nice little quiz, and I'd highly recommend that you do it and find out if you're in adrenal burnout, and if so, where. I had some interesting stats I should just actually share real quickly on that, because just looking at, I did a quiz. I had people do a quiz, and it would classify them as either in the alarm state or stage one, stage two, stage three, and most people are in stage two of adrenal fatigue. And if I look at that, let me pull it up, like the numbers. I just wanted to give you the idea of the numbers because it was quite interesting how it broke down. There are very few in the alarm state, which means that out of the, you know, 1,000 people or so that took the survey, most of them have adrenal fatigue. So it's something you really want to, as a practitioner, have on your radar and learn about. So I highly recommend that you come tonight, and we're going to be offering a program on adrenal fatigue, and I'm going to be offering not as elaborate a practitioner-level training as this one, but we're going to be offering just a couple. You go through the program, and then we're going to be offering a couple of extra bonuses for practitioners, and it's a very nominal extra fee. So it's much, it's more in a lower investment than the IRSPT, less complicated at this point, but I think it's something that most practitioners really need to know a lot more about. So I'm going to look at the numbers, and it's really curious. We had, of the people that took it, a lot of people opted in and didn't end up taking it, but the people that did take it, we've got, listen to these numbers. 9 of them are in the alarmed stage, which means they're, you know, they're not having negative effects of it yet, but they're showing signs of alarm. 342 were in the stage 1, 298 were in the stage 2, and only 28 in stage 3. So it's like the stage 2 is the one you really want to learn about because it's often overlooked because it looks normal when you do the testing, right? When you look at the testing, most doctors, if they're not really trained well to look at it, will say, Oh, actually, I made a mistake because that was historical. That's just within the last 24 hours. So it was 458 in stage 1, 329 in stage 2, 39 in 3, and 18 in alarm. So I was a little bit off on those numbers because I didn't look at the dates. But, stage 2 is one that's often overlooked because they'll look at the chart. They'll say, the total cortisol is normal and not really look at the patterns and not look at the DHEA cortisol ratio. So it's quite interesting. And those are the kind of things that we're going to go through when we do the program. So highly recommend you come to our call tonight, and it might be the next step after this is to work on the adrenals. And in my hierarchy, which you've all seen, the next step after this is to work on the adrenals. So let me just check one last time, and if there's no more questions, I'm going to take a break before my next call. We're good. And Bayari said, I can't get pure Nopal cactus here. Used to like the pure in Australia, but tablets from USA. Do you think this looks okay? So silicified microcrystalline cellulose, dibasic calcium phosphate, stearic acid, colloidal silicon dioxide, and modified cellulose. Got it. You know, they're binders, they're fillers, there's stearic acid in it. It can affect the absorption of it. It's not terrible. It doesn't have talc or sugar or gluten or any bad things in it. But, I mean, it would be nice if you got pure, right? I don't know. Doesn't Health Force Nutritional ship over to England? I thought they had some Europe distributors. You might look into that because they have a nice, really nice Nopal cactus. Okay. We have two more. Good old Tony. Yay. Hi, Tony. I mean, like I said, I'm disappointed when I don't hear your voice on one of these calls.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. It's been challenging. I've been juggling clients and work in between. So I when I got on, I said, what call is this? So I was afraid to ask a question that was not for me. But anyway, I do have a question about a client I'm working with. She's really thin, nervous energy, so she kind of burns through her stuff, but she's eating a lot of fatty foods, so we're trying to take her away from that because her triglycerides are off the roof, off the roof. But what I'm trying to get her to do is eat more protein, and she just says, I just can't find any protein powders that I like. And for her, I think she needs something that kind of gives her that heavy, fatty, satiation kind of feeling, and I'm thinking, is Sun Warrior a good product that would help someone like her, you think, in your experience?
Well, that, you know, it just depends because the thing with the protein powder, she is going to have to combine it with fat. If she's thin, it's the fat that's going to give her that, the combination of the sugar, fat, and fiber, right?
Yeah.
Who asked about that last night? Sugar, fat, and fiber is so important to give that feeling of satiation. If you just go with the protein, not sugar, sorry, protein, fat, and fiber, not sugar. Cancel.
Gotcha.
Protein, fat, and fiber. Because protein by itself isn't very filling. Fat by itself is filling, but it's not real satiating. And the fiber with all the others really gives it that filling. So if you just eat vegetables, you're not going to be you'll be full for a little while, but not for very long. But if you add the fat and the protein to it, it could be lasting. So I like the Sun Warrior. I particularly like their Warrior Blend, the one that has the hemp cranberry and pea. But there's a number of them, and it's really a matter of trying. I like the pumpkin because the pumpkin still has some of the fat in it. And I'm one person that I recommended it to can't take it because she said it feels really heavy when she takes it. So it might be good for somebody who's needing that feeling of heavy. But I would say put some coconut in there. You know, put a tablespoon of coconut oil in there. Because if you try to put the whole coconut, then you're adding more fiber, and she's going to get fuller faster. So when somebody's having trouble with losing weight, that's the one time that I feel like having, you know, a good high-quality oil could be very helpful.
That would be great. Because she does want to, you know, clean up her gut, and she really needs to, but understandably, you know, she's already real thin. She doesn't want to lose any more. So this would be really helpful.
Yeah, and the fat, don't be afraid of good plant fats. It's those saturated ones that your problem. But with high triglycerides, what else are you wanting to look at? If she's got high triglycerides, what is it that affects triglycerides more than fat?
Blood sugar.
Sugar, yep. Yeah, so look at what she's eating. Yeah. Is she drinking orange juice? Is she eating toast? Is she really looking at her carbs?
We are working on that as well because she's a nervous eater, so she does carb out a little bit.
Yeah,
a lot.
The carbs are raising her triglycerides, not the fats, probably.
Okay.
Unless she's, you know, sitting around eating burgers all day.
No. Based on her food diary that she sent to me this week, that's not the case. So, yeah, that was very helpful. So we'll add a little bit more healthy fat, give her, so she says, feeling satiation. She'll stay away from the carbs.
Right.
And
then have a play with
forward.
The protein powders. You can get little, go to the health food stores. Usually Whole Foods has a lot of different single-serving envelopes. And play around with them and see what she likes. But she might find that if she adds fat to it, like a tablespoon of coconut oil or something, or a sliver of avocado blended up in there, that she'll find it makes a difference.
Great. Well, thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Good job.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. Okay, so Beverly put her hand back up, so I'm going to see if she's there now. Are you there, Beverly? Ugh. How frustrating. This happened the other night to you, too. I hear a little clicking. Speak. I hear something, but yeah. And there was, I just reminded, Tony's question reminded me there was another question further down. I thought maybe that was on the other call. That was on the other call. It was on the before call. I got it. Okay. Well, I hear a little something there. Your hand is up again. Hello? Speak. No. All right. All right, guys. It's been great. It's been awesome. Make sure you put on your calendar next week. make sure I give it to you. It's the 3:30 p.m. Central Time next Wednesday, the 18th. And that's going to be our community coaching and marketing strategy meeting. So call. And we're really going to get into making sure that you feel good about getting out in your community and talking about this stuff, because nobody's really sharing it with people. People are going on with the assumption, right, that things like triglycerides, you know, you have to watch your fat, and they're cutting back the fat, with it, and they're not cutting out the carbs, and carbs are much more contributory there. And omega-3s is really important for that. You know, bumping up her omega-3s is very, very important for the triglycerides too. So those are the kind of things we want to talk about, and that you can put together your own presentation. I've given you my slides. You don't have to use them exactly, but it gives you like a framework, and maybe you take my slides and you change the pictures around. You make the colors more what your colors are. You make them your own. And but it's a starting point. And you can take some out. You can add some in. You can do them in a different order. But you can outline what you're going to say to your community about how widespread this problem of blood sugar is. And it shows up in so many different ways, and give them some hope for how they can get around it. So thanks for being here, and we'll see you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
The moderator has left the conference.